I really wanted to speak on the epistle reading today, but I don't feel ready for it, so I won't. I'll instead just satisfy myself with one quote, which I'll sort of add one bit on, one bit of commentary on, to segue us into what I want to say about the gospel reading this morning. The epistle reading we finished ends with, "For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God has prepared beforehand for us to walk in." And I just want to make the note and that these good works that God has prepared beforehand for us to walk in often include a fair amount of waiting. And really, the point I want to focus on in as we consider the gospel reading today is really just that. It's one simple point. So I hope I don't belabor it too much. But we're not very good at waiting. And yet, so much of our life, so much of our spiritual walk is wrapped up in waiting for something. And that's certainly exemplified in the gospel reading as we received it this morning. There was a man, a ruler of the synagogue named Jairus, who had a 12-year-old daughter who was sick. She was dying. And in his agony of despair and hope and just looking for any possible solution, he comes to Jesus. And he says, "Please, come, heal my daughter. She's sick." And Jesus says, "Sure, I'll come." And he starts making his way to Jairus' house so he can heal Jairus' daughter. As they're going, Jesus is surrounded by the throng of people that he's usually surrounded by, and they're pressing in on him on every side. And suddenly, in the midst, and so presumably, one would guess that the progress of this great procession was a lot slower than Jairus would like to begin with. But in the middle of this, all of a sudden, Jesus, for no apparent reason, Jesus stops. And he looks around and he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are all like, "Who touched you? There's people pressing in on you on every side, and you ask, who touched you?" And he says, "Yeah, someone touched me, and I felt healing, I felt power go out from me. Who touched me?" And he waits. And eventually, out of the crowd, one woman comes, and she confesses before everyone that she was the one who touched Jesus. And she tells her whole story. She had had a flow of blood for 12 years. I don't think it's coincidental that Jairus had enjoyed his daughter for 12 years and she had been wrestling with this flow of blood for exactly the same amount of time. She'd spent all of her livelihood on physicians to try and heal her of this flow of blood, which as a Jewish woman was particularly disturbing and distressing because it meant she was perpetually unclean. And being unclean, she couldn't touch anyone else without making them unclean. And so she'd spent all of her livelihood to try and be rid of this horrible, distressing problem, and no one could help her. And she had, in the midst of the crowd, kind of wormed her way through the crowd to be able to just touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And instantly, the flow of blood that had been troubling her for the last 12 years stopped, and she was healed of her infirmity. And Jesus says to her, after she's related this whole story, "Daughter, be of good cheer, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." And I want to pause here, leaving Jairus to wait even longer for the resolution of his desperate problem. Because the woman is for us an example of how to wait. We're called to wait. Isaiah says, "Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." We're called to wait on the Lord in faith. And Jesus says to her that your faith has healed you. We're called to wait in faith. What does that mean? Well, faith, as we learn in Hebrews, is basically boils down to understanding that God exists and that He is good. We don't necessarily understand all the things that He allows to happen. We don't understand all the intricacies of why this evil happens or that horrible thing is not prevented. But from the beginning to the end, our confidence is in the Lord, and that He is ultimately and essentially good, that He is working for the good of those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose in all things, at all times, in all places. But it's easy to give up. It's easy to lose heart in the face of all of the things that happen to us. And certainly this woman no one would have blamed her for giving up. I mean, she spent all of her livelihood on all of the medical technology of her day, and none of it had helped. She'd done everything that she could to be ritually pure and clean and to get rid of this horrible infirmity that separated her from all of those around her. But she wasn't done yet. When she heard about Jesus, she had to just go and touch the hem of His garment. It's all she was felt moved to do. And so in her faith that God was going to provide something, somehow, somewhere, sometime, she did not give up. And she pushed her way through the crowd. And she reached out and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment in faith. With faith that God was good and that He could, if He willed, heal her of this infirmity. And He did. In the meantime, as Jairus is waiting and waiting and waiting, not only has our Lord stopped for no apparent reason, but now He stopped and had somebody tell a story, which is taking longer. They're just about to start going again, and men come from his household. And they say to him, "Don't trouble the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dead." And here, I and I think probably any other preacher who is talking about this is always goes into a fair bit of detail, which is not in the story, about what Jairus must be feeling inside and what he must be going through, because you can kind of fill in the gaps. But it's interesting to see here what the gospel writers do not record, because the gospel writers don't mince any words. They don't spare any expressions of anger or bitterness or resentfulness or whatever else, or lack of faith, even amongst the disciples. But you don't hear any of that from Jairus. He doesn't say anything. And I think we actually have a pretty good insight as to what he was feeling at this time. Because Jesus says to him, "Don't be afraid." At this point, we can say with some confidence that Jairus was not angry or bitter or any of that stuff. Maybe he was a bit, but the overwhelming feeling in his heart was one of dread, of horror, of fear. And this is often our state. When things go wrong, when everything seems to be crashing down around us, what is it that we feel? Well, we may be also, perhaps unlike Jairus, we may be full of anger and bitterness and whatever, and shaking our fists at God or whatever. But I think most deeply, we are like Jairus in that we feel this dread. Maybe God isn't there. Maybe he has abandoned us. Maybe there is no solution, no hope. And so Jesus says to him and to us, don't be afraid. And they continue on. And they come to the house when they hear the wailing and the mourning, and Jesus dismisses, tells them to go away because she's just asleep, and they're all ridiculing him. And he selects just the father and mother, just this, his three innermost circle of disciples, and goes in and simply says to the girl, little girl, get up. And she gets up. And he says, give her something to eat. And he gives her back to her parents and tells them, don't tell anybody about this. Which must have involved a bit of waiting as well, because I'm sure they would want to tell people, like, this is amazing. It's not easy to wait. It's even harder to wait in faith. Our fear that God may have ultimately abandoned us, may not even be there, haunts us and stalks us and undermines our desperate attempts to wait on the Lord. But part of this good work that God has prepared in advance for us to do as his workmanship is the work of waiting. The work of waiting in faith. The work of waiting in perfect love, which casts out all fear. And we are enabled to do this by the revelation of all that God has done and continues to do. He healed the woman with the flow of blood. Took 12 years. But ultimately, as she reached out to God, he healed her. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He himself went and into death for us and for our sakes, so that we would know that even in the grave, God himself has not abandoned us, because he is love. We can wait on him. We can put all of our hope, all of our trust, all of our even unknowing and unimagined and incomprehending trust. We can place it in him, knowing that he is working in all things for us who love him and are the called according to his purpose. He is our hope. And ultimately, as we see how he is working, as we see the outworkings of all that he is doing in our lives and in the lives of all those around us and in the world, we will be filled not merely with hope, not merely with faith, but with joy as we see his work, his glory, the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now,